Okay. Shalom, what do you say? We are in Chemes Alvavis Shah Hakniya Perek Dalin. We are in the middle of discussing the areas where Kniya should express itself. The circumstances where Kniya should express itself. What have we been seeing the last 2 days? Area number 5, in Perek Dalid Mahamishi. This is a very fundamental point. Chavis Alvavis tells us that one of the areas where Kniya should express itself is when you receive a toiva from Hashem. Number one, a person should feel inadequate. A person should feel that this requires me to live up to a lot, and I don't feel capable of doing that. That's number one. But number two, he said, is the pachad, the fear, that is this actually coming? What is the significance of this thing? Is it going to be replacing some of my schar? Is it here to, is it a sign that Hashem is trying to settle his accounts with me? So here the Chavis Havavis told us something very, very fundamental. And that is that if you want to know what is the significance of a toiva that you got, you actually determine it. If you respond to a toiva by stepping up your avoda, by retaining your focus of where the toiva is coming from, you see through the toiva, it's transparent. You see Hashem is the meitiv. That is, then that toiva is a sign of Hashem's favor. On the contrary, enjoy it, enjoy Hashem's favor, and it's not coming at the expense of your olam haba. On the contrary, it's only adding to it. If it just turns into a struggle of maintaining it, etc., you're not exactly enjoying it, you're also not using it for avodas Hashem, then it means it is given for you for a test. It was an opportunity that you're not really living up to. If, and this is the third and the worst one, is that if you remain oblivious to Hashem, you just grab that toiva and selfishly throw yourself into it and dig in, then he said this is what he called the nekama. It's Hashem paying a person off for his chusim in this world, Khalil. So what we come away from this is really a very simple, basic point that anything good that comes our way, anything from the biggest to the smallest, brachas, so to speak, the smallest, we want to turn it into ruchnis. We want to use it as a means of connecting with Hashem, whether by stepping up our avoid in general as a result, or just in a very basic way, by expressing gratitude, by expressing appreciation, using it as some means for ruchnis. Then I know that that toiva is definitely something I've profited from. I know that I've locked it in as something that is eternally good. And this is a point to keep in mind. But coming back to the first point, and that is the very sense that when you get a toiva, you should feel humbled because of the inadequacy, because of the fact that, how am I supposed to pay for this? And I can't. And the truth is, yeah, you can't pay Hashem back. But Hashem is happy to give it to people who will feel this way. If you're capable of appreciating the fact that you got it from Hashem and of feeling that inadequacy, that itself is the accomplishment. And this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants you to pay him back. What can you give him? But for you to feel humbled, for you to feel that inadequacy, that is actually just creating that clearer, realer dynamic with Hashem.
The way he describes his ways, like is it a nakama or is it a test? I mean, a person only knows the nakama after he sees the outcome. I mean, when he first gets the tova,
yeah,
maybe he should refuse the tova.
No, so this is exactly what the Chavis Halavis is telling us. Let's say a person, have a person who's a Rasha, Hashem decides he's giving him a tovah as a nekama. What does the nekama mean? Nekama means that he's using it to pay the person's olam haba with that tovah, right? So let's say you have a rasha and Hashem decides he has some mitzvahs. I want to pay him off in this world, and therefore I'm going to give him $1 million. Okay? Hashem gives the rasha $1 million and then plans on getting rid of him in a year. I gave him that fund. He'll die in a year and he won't have olam haba because I've already paid him off. Okay? Now what happens if that rasha then goes ahead and somehow is inspired? He takes those $1 million, gives it to a yeshiva. What happens now? These $1 million are meant to pay him off for his chusim. But now he just earned a whole bunch of more chusim. So what happens now? What's that? But it was given to him for that purpose. Exactly. That's right. That's exactly the beauty of the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is making. Hashem leaves it open. You, through your response, can reprogram what it was given to you for. I mean, Hashem is very happy for the Rasha to take advantage and turn it around. Right? If all of a sudden now the Rasha uses it for Zchusim, and now Hashem says, okay, he's on his way. If I want to pay him off for these Zchusim, I have to give him $10 million. But if the Rasha already got the Chap, and now he's on a different path, Hashem is very happy to turn around and say, you know what? It wasn't given to him retroactively. It wasn't given to him to pay him off. It was given to him as a means of prompting him to get back on the right path. In other words, when Hashem does something, much of it will depend. There's a lot of interaction between our free choice and the things that Hashem does. And Hashem can do things with a number of different intents depending on how you decide to relate to it. And therefore, you're worried about nekama. You're worried that Hashem is giving this to you to pay you off. You can turn it around by saying, I'm taking it and I'm using it for Hashem's service. And then Hashem is very happy to say, well, now you turned it into olam haba. On the contrary, you increased your zchusim as a result of this. I have to realize that even when Hashem is angry at somebody, so to speak, the favor is there under the surface, meaning Hashem is very willing for the person to turn it around and access Hashem's favor that's waiting there to come out. You just make a little bit of a switch and you'll be receiving my smiling countenance again. So to speak, Hashem doesn't mind us beating the system, right? If something was given in a nekama, but we turn it around and use it for avodas Hashem, I use it as a means of connecting with Hashem. On the contrary, it turns into a sign of Hashem's favor, a source of Hashem's favor. Very fundamental piece, this.
I told them the story in the Gemara between Shmuel and Avlak, that the workers were going out at the beginning of the day. And Avlak pointed to one of the workers and said, that one's not going to come back. He's going to die. And Shmuel said to Avlak, if he's Jewish, he'll come back. At the end of the day, he came back. The one Jewish guy came back. He ended up. And so Shmuel ran over to him, pushed off the bundle of wheat that he cut, found there a dead snake. And he asked the man, you obviously had some kind of schut that you got saved. A snake? Abla was right. You're going to die. So what did you do? What schut? So it turned out that the schut he did was translated Sadaka Tatsimim.
Wow.
So he said that over to this man. So the man said, I'm going to tell you a story. So he told me that once he was in Hawaii, and him and a friend rented one of the motorboats for the driver to drive him out into the ocean and turn around and come back. So they went out in the ocean until they couldn't see the land, turn around to come back. But the problem is when I turned around, the boat slipped over.
Oh, well.
And all three fell out of the boat, including this particular man that found the story. Now, he was thrown out the farthest. The other two managed to climb back, turn the boat upright, and got back in the boat. Because there was all the waves and there's noise, even though this man was calling for help, and this, they didn't see him, they couldn't hear him because of the noise. So they looked, they couldn't find him, so they made the decision, let's go back to shore and call for help. So they went back to shore. And this man, it was the ocean. He had a, like, you know, and you had to swim. But for every stroke he took toward the land, the waves pushed him 10 strokes out. There was nothing to do.
Right. No, Val, just that we have people also on the computer, they don't really hear you. So either speak louder or let's save it for let's save the continuation for afterwards. Once it's more lengthy. You're leaving us right in the suspense of it, but right in the middle. I just feel bad to keep people hanging here without hearing what's going on. But you speak up.
he prayed to Hashem that, you know, he gives money to the yeshiva. He prayed to Hashem, I'm gonna give more money. You know, please save my life, Hashem, save my life. All of a sudden, over the horizon comes an ocean cruiser. Now, ocean cruiser is very high. A little rowboat couldn't see him. Ocean cruiser couldn't see him. But he was wearing one of those light things, orange. So somebody on the top saw this little orange thing. To make a long story short, they saved him.
Wow. Wow.
I told the story.
Dr. Tatsumi me Mavis.
So he told me the story happened.
Yeshukaya. Very good. Very good. Yeshukaya. Amazing. Okay. We move on to number 6. Sorry, we're going to finish off number 5. Hamaskil, we have a wise person. Kishetavoy loy toiva, when he does receive toiva, some good. Vayla mekubal kechevtzay b'chalin yanov, and life is going along smoothly. Yikana, that itself makes him feel humble. Everything in life is just going smooth. Maybe that itself is paying me off. We have to realize what a bracha it is when life is just plain, smooth, and boring. When life is plain and smooth and boring, that means that everything is fine. That means you're just living comfortably. Is that itself Hashem paying me off, Chalila, for my toivas, for my schar and olam haba? A person, that itself should cause a person to start. Everything is just fine. That should be startling. And the person should say, oh, wow, well, I better utilize the opportunity of just plain regular life without any crises to express my gratitude, to step up my avoda. Avigdor Gamliel used to say that all the time. People are bored. Western society trained people to expect excitement all the time. He said, you're looking for excitement. You don't like the boring life. He said, an ambulance outside your house is very exciting. Chas v'shalom. But a very chashuv point, we talk about a person getting some toiva. We talk about a person getting some toiva and having to respond accordingly. Make sure that I'm utilizing it in a way that means that it's a sign of Hashem's favor. So realize that just life being boring is an example of that. If life is just plain, regular, smooth right now, there's no tzara right now, there's no crisis right now, this is something that calls for a response. Why is Hashem giving me such a good life? I have to be appreciative. There's a very hush of a point here being made. See, people talk about not understanding Hashem's ways when something goes wrong. Okay? There are tzaras, chas v'shalom. People talk about not understanding Hashem's ways. But when everything is fine, nobody wonders. Why shouldn't a person wonder that too? Right? Why do I have a comfortable parnosa? Why should Hashem do that for me? What's the basis for it? Huh? Well, why shouldn't I have? Because some of us want us to understand that when things are fine, that's the time to say, ooh, 1 minute, I have to note that. I better realize that Hashem has been very involved with me right now and to respond accordingly, to respond accordingly. This is something, a point that we've made a few times. The people ask, when there's a tzara, why would Hashem do this to a good person? We talk about tzaras in history. Why would Hashem do such a thing? So, the question is legitimate, but you have to ask the question like a mensch. For a person to be oblivious when everything is good, for a person to be getting and getting and getting and getting from Hashem, never dawns on him that anything is going on. All of a sudden, something happens that's a tzara chas v'shalom. Oh, Hashem, suddenly Hashem appeared in my life and is making me tzaras. You want to ask, you have to also ask about all the good things in life, right? It isn't menschlich. We're just talking derech eretz to come and say, oh, Hashem, why didn't you do this the way I like? Hashem said, 1 minute, what about all the things I did the way you like? So this is a fundamental point to bear in mind. The Kuzari makes that point. When he's talking about the nekuda of tzadik v'raloi, when he talks about that whole discussion, he says, tzadik v'raloi, he says, might be a good question, but it has to be in perspective of all the time. Otherwise, the question is not being asked with the right proportions. Okay. Hashishi. What is the sixth area where kinyan should express itself? When a person learns in Tanakh, and he sees Hashem's standards, he sees the types of things that Hashem punished for. And he understands that he's not really much better than those people. This one really deserves more arichas. But right now we'll leave it at this. We're just opening the subject. Learning of Hashem's admonitions and of Hashem's toichachas, schar and oinesh, in nach, should be reason for us to feel humbled. That's something that deserves elaboration. Bli neder, next time. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.
Thank you.
Ruchim to you. Ruchim to you.